This is the show that pulls back the industry curtain. We're exploring pop culture, music icons, and food gods. It's the Jeremiah Show with Dr. D, broadcasting from the HJL Hospitality and Evolve Studios in LA and KZSB AM 1290 and FM 96.9 Santa Barbara, or somewhere from the road. He's opened and fixed more than 200 restaurants, bars, nightclubs, hotels, and neighborhood joints around the globe. He's an industry driver, an author, and a columnist. He's a restaurateur with legendary rock star Mick Fleetwood in Fleetwood's on Front Street in Lahaina, Maui. And he's your radio host. And now, back from a race around the sun, Jeremiah Higgins.
Welcome to the Jeremiah Show. A third hour here, Dr. D, and it always feels like I'm so excited to talk to this third hour guest that we almost need some Red Bull or something in here to like match the energy of our guest and match for the last show here. I'm so happy to bring back to the show Mr. Since She's Been Gone, this talented pianist. She's a songwriter, a producer, and a composer. She's also an actor. Elise, welcome back to the show. Elise Solberg.
Thank you so much.
Got some soul in that Solberg. Elise, welcome back. Honestly, I think about you a lot because you were, when you were introduced to the show, to me by Roxanne Seaman, the great Roxanne Seaman, who has worked with so many talented artists, and you guys were working on such a special project at that time. Tell us about that project again, because I would like people to go back and listen to that. It's such a good cause. But with the Library of Congress, this is such a neat project, and this is how you were introduced. And you came on the show. You composed and worked with writing a song with Roxy and Hannah Gold.
Yeah, thank you so much for bringing that up again, because that was such a good time. That song, actually, I didn't help write. That was a song by Roxy and Charles Fox, the wonderful composer. So they did the lyrics and the composition together, but I just arranged the live music for that. But it was such a great tribute to all the veterans out there, and also our family members. I think all three of us had veterans in our family. Yeah. So the fact that we got to bring up some of their, you know, memories and their experiences in the military, that was something really near and dear to our hearts. And to be able to do that through music was very special.
It was, and it is a beautiful song. I'm referring, if you want to go back to that interview, it's on episode 375, In Love and War is the song. And remind me the story about your grandfather who fought in the war. It was such a powerful story.
Yes, my grandfather, he fought in the U.S. Army. He liberated the Mittelbau, the concentration camp, and I think he also liberated another as well. And he also was awarded two Purple Heart awards because he saved the lives of other soldiers. So I keep his memories near and dear to my heart, even though I never got to meet him because he passed before I was born. But my father and my grandmother would always tell me wonderful stories about him, and I feel very blessed because back then, you know, you were drafted into the war, or you know, you're in the military and you had to go out and risk your life out there, and you didn't get to really pursue your life passions because of the war. Mm-hmm. And I feel very grateful to carry out his dreams because he wanted to be a musician. And I get to be a musician. So I feel very blessed to do that.
What does it mean to you when you, as a child, when you were told stories about your grandfather and his dreams, but also the, his great accomplishments and the, I guess, the sacrifices that he made for the country and for his family to live and be, you know, have freedom and have an experience, you know, the life that you're now able to live. When you heard those stories as a child, how do they affect you? And which ones, you know, what do you carry with you from the messages that you carry from him?
I think what I carry most is that inequality in one place is a threat to inequality everywhere. So, especially with my organization, Turn Up Per Mic, which is very specific. It's women in music, and mm-hmm. you know, it's not any in any way really related to wars. But,
well, I mean, if I could jump in real quickly here, and it's, you know, you pick something for all of us. Pick something to help, you know, inequality, and to help right that, or help whatever wrong that speaks to you. Pick something. I mean, you can't cover everything, but I like this cause that you're involved with.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I felt like a sense of justice, you know, was kind of instilled in me that you have to stand on something, and that's definitely what my grandfather did. And I definitely want to carry that for the rest of my life, and I want to make sure that the next generation of women musicians are well represented in the music industry.
Mm-hmm. It's neat to me. It's a neat story to hear that. I think there's special bonds between a grandfather and a granddaughter, and I'm sorry that you didn't get to experience that in the physical, but it sounds like his memory was really passed down to you, and instilled some of his values were instilled in who you are. I'm sure he'd be very proud. Do you know what type of music that he enjoyed, or his favorite songs? Were you ever told that? What type of music he wanted to be, or what musician he wanted to be?
I think he was into jazz, just like my dad was. My dad was also in the Air Force, but he was in the Air Force band. And I think my dad also carried on that tradition of the type of music that that my grandfather really liked as well. And so my dad was able to bring that jazz and music to different countries. So a big part of the relationship between Japan, where I was born, and the States, and just the bond between the two countries was greatly benefited by the Air Force band, that you can build great communities through music, and they performed all throughout Japan to bring jazz and American culture to the forefront, and the audiences really loved it, and they held the United States in even better esteem because of it.
Yeah, it was jazz, and the musicians that played it and toured during that time really did build and repair walls and build bridges, right? And were very instrumental in all of that. It's a history that I'm fascinated with. I think it was a very big part of healing wounds and all of that. So your grandfather, let's dedicate this show to him. What is his full name?
Laverne Solberg.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Is that okay with you?
Oh, of course. Can we do that? Of course. I love that.
last question about your grandfather. Do you ever think that you may record one of his favorite tunes for him, or, you know, because you're him and reincarnated, basically, right? You're living his dream and following traditions.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to spend a little more time with jazz. Lately, it's been more pop and R&B because of some of the gigs I've been associated with, but I would love to really sit down and work on more jazz music.
Now, when you do play, please bring it to us. We want to hear it. Yeah, you're very eclectic. The different genres of music, or very very learned, very talented. Pop, R&B, rock, classical, a little bit of jazz. Gonna get there one day for Grandpa. let me give your bio out a little bit here, because then everybody will understand my next question for you. You performed at the Oscars just, what, a couple months ago with Beyonce. All right, I mean, you probably don't get any higher than that. You don't get a better gig than that one. You perform in the Oscar-nominated song by King Richard, Be Alive. You've performed with 5-time Grammy nominated artist Chloe and Haley at the MTV Movie and TV Awards, the Global Citizen Festival, NPR's Tiny Desk concert. You've been on James Corden's Late Late Show. You've been on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, playing with Chloe and Haley, the VMAs, the BET Awards. How, I got to understand, because I don't think we got enough time last time. Elise, this is one of the things that fascinates me about you, is that how did you get from a little girl, like loving music, to there? I mean, what was your trajectory? What was your path? And what drives you? A lot of questions there, but you can start with the easy one.
Sure. Yeah, it's, you know, despite not having lived on this planet for very long.
Yeah. Very young but wise.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, originally I was more focused on classical music growing up. That was my training. I did competitions in the whole nine yards.
Did you like it?
I liked it in many regards. I loved the music, but the intense practicing, yeah, in solitude to become a concert pianist was very, it was a lot of things, but I think that eventually when I was in college, I was like, you know, I really crave this creative collaboration that you just don't get if you're not working with other musicians.
So can I go back there, just pause you for a second? So, little girl, young woman, but you're isolated, and that's the time, and it is this intense, I can't even imagine, but you know, I know so many musicians, I know this is an intense training and regimen and discipline to be the best, to be good. And that was that hard, and it sounds like it was, but as you said, isolated. So, and you're a young woman that wants to be, you know, you want to be around probably other kids and other, do normal things and other activities. Was, how many hours a week would you dedicate, and would you be alone perfecting your craft?
Oh my gosh. I have to think about how many hours that would be. Let's see. I mean, depending on, you know, I went to public school, so not like a specialized music school, so I had homework as well, but anywhere from 2 to 4 hours, and on weekends I would try and practice as much as I could, especially if competitions or auditions were coming up. It, you know, could be anywhere from like 3 to 6 on weekends.
Do you appreciate that time and that training now, or do you ever, is there anything you wish you would have been able to do that you weren't when you were a child?
I think more than ever, I really appreciate it, because I don't think without it, I would be I wouldn't be where I'd be today.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of that discipline, I don't think, I think it's harder to learn when you get older.
Yeah.
That type of discipline.
So who would not make you, but say, you got to go practice, you got to go play? Or would you go on your own? Was that something that, was that your first instinct?
I think especially during my adolescence, I got a little bit carried. I was like, man, I just want to spend time with friends. But my mom and my dad were like, you know, if you want to get into college for music, you really got to sit down and practice a lot. And eventually I kind of learned that drive, and nobody would tell me to practice like in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly, I think, like, especially after my first year of high school, I was kind of self-disciplined.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you'd play classical, would you veer off and play a little pop or a little rock or when no one was around?
Yeah, every now and then, you know, I would try and learn something I would hear on the radio or something I heard on YouTube. Some of my favorite artists were Linkin Park, who's a great rock band.
See, I wouldn't guess that, but that's I love that. It shows how much we don't know. We just got to keep talking to you.
That's the way.
Linkin Park. Sorry, go ahead. We're a couple more.
All right. I loved Adele's records back then. I think I was in high school when 21 came out.
Have you heard of Adele, Richard? Richard loves
name
Adele.
Name is vaguely familiar.
Richard loves Adele so much that I've banned him from mentioning her on the show. But then now, almost every guest that comes on mentions Adele. So I'm like, I gotta lift the ban.
It's funny. It's kind of like the name that is not to be mentioned from Harry Potter, like Voldemort. Not supposed to mention that.
But they do. So then take it. So that's interesting that, when you were dreaming of, obviously the next step for you was to get into college. That's why on a scholarship, right? Is that the goal mainly?
Yeah, that was the goal.
Did you think about though, I love this and I want to do, I mean, some of the musicians you're playing with now probably fit that dream as a child, right? You wanted to play, you wanted to get outside of just classical, you wanted to, you know, break into pop or play pop music or rock music or R&B. Did you dream that way, or did you go, I'm just focused on getting my college music scholarship and then we'll go from there? Or when did that change, or was it always there, that desire to play with some of the big groups that you're playing with and the band musicians?
You know, that's a great question. Actually, back then, it didn't even occur to me that you could do that, that you could, you know, play with different artists and support them musically. And so I was just like, you know, just keep doing classical music. It didn't really occur to me, and I just went to college. And then thankfully, the college that I did go to has a very robust contemporary music program and the pop program that's headed by the amazing Patrice Rushen, and I got to see some of their performances, their different classes. They had these wonderful performances. I was like, oh my gosh.
Did you go to USC?
I did.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. I thought so. Yeah, so, that is a great music school, great music program. I think I may have mentioned on the show last time that I went to the USC Film School right next door to you. So I would go out, those buildings are right next to each other, all right? So most of the classrooms. So I would go out on all my lunch breaks or my breaks in between classes and just sit there and listen to you guys play. That's one of my best memories of USC. It was just sitting out there under those trees by those brick buildings, that little courtyard there,
yeah,
right outside the Music Academy or the Music Building. I hope,
yeah.
I don't think we probably went at the same time, but maybe I heard you play. So go ahead. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
Oh, that's fine. So I was watching all these performances go down, and eventually I was just like, you know what? I want to see if I can get involved with this in any way, shape, or form. So I just went up to Patrice one day, and this was later in my college years. I just asked her, hey, can I be a part? And she says, yeah, you know, I met her my freshman year, so it wasn't just like some random occurrence, but I was like a junior, and I said, can I get involved? And she said, yeah, we can always use more keyboardists. So
get involved in what exactly did you ask her to get involved in, being a musician, backup musician, or a part of a band?
Just part of the pop program.
Sorry.
Yeah, she had. Oh, no worries. Yeah, so she suggested that I join the junior pop program where you write, record, and perform your own music, whereas the first 2 years you're just kind of put into bands and playing cover songs just to kind of get the stylistic nuances in your fingers.
Mm-hmm.
But junior year, you just work on your own music. And I kind of had this learning curve because I didn't get to play in bands. I didn't form those bonds. I didn't really learn a lot of those stylistic things. So she just gave me a playlist of things, of like songs to listen to stylistically to kind of get me on that level. So I had to do that very quickly, but it definitely paid off, especially that year.
I think it did. We're going to take a real quick break here. We're talking with our special guest today, Elise Solberg. There's a lot of soul in this. I'm going to do it twice because I love it. I think it describes her perfectly. You got a lot of soul, Elise, and we're so happy to have you on the show today. She's a pianist. She's a songwriter, a producer, a composer, soon to be a world-renowned actor. I can't talk about it, but I think I can. Can I even talk about it, what studio it may land with? Or
oh, sure, yeah.
Apple TV new program. Was previously HBO, but I think it's on Apple TV now. Coming up, so you'll have to look for Elise Solberg. Solberg, excuse me. I love the soul, but I go back to the soul. Elise Solberg is our special guest. We'll be right back. Let me tell you where you can find her on all of her social media handles. It's pretty easy. Find more on Elise Solberg at her website, elisesolberg.com. Also, I'd like you, and we're going to talk about this coming up, check out Turn Up Her Mic, turnuphermic.org. And you want to find her music, go to Spotify, follow her. Definitely follow her. Don't just listen, but follow. You will be notified with all of her new music, and you can check out the One Last Time EP. You can find it there. You can find all her music on all the streaming sites and buy the EP. We'll be right back.
When you walked out that door, I didn't think I would care. But you left me wanting more, and I denied my feelings were there. But you took me by surprise when you caught my eye. Like we never fight about who was right, but I keep denying, and we start fighting again and again and again and again. 'Cause I'm
wanna hear me say that I can't stop thinking about you, that my heart stops beating when I'm with you. So why can't help but feel this way?
Mr. Restaurant is a tasty new segment on the Jeremiah Show. Host Will Knox, renowned restaurant real estate specialist, serves up a fresh look at the restaurant business. On the menu, celebrity chefs, startups, operators, deal makers, designers, and those are just some of the appetizers. Look for all of Mr. Restaurant shows. Tell your smart speaker to play the Jeremiah Show, Mr. Restaurant.
Hi, I'm Shadow Stevens. While I'm doing this and that and the other thing at the very same time, I'm having a great time on The Jeremiah Show, the greatest show in the history of the world. For the love of God, subscribe. No, seriously, subscribe.
Welcome, Los Angeles. The Jeremiah Show is now on Radio Candy Radio. Discover a world of emotions, your digital radio. The Jeremiah Show airs 10 p.m. Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. RadioCandyRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Marielle Hemingway, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show.
Welcome back to the Jeremiah Show. Our very special guest today is a returning friend, a very talented artist. Elise Solberg is back. She's a pianist, a songwriter, producer, and a composer. She played recently with Beyonce at the 2022 Oscars, so you may recognize her. She's on a Be Alive by King Richard, Oscar-nominated song. And five-time Grammy-nominated Chloe Ann Haley. Been on so many award shows, played with so many great people. One of her greatest accomplishments are the causes and that she cares about, and we're going to talk about those soon. First, before we do, if you are just joining us, Elise has taken us on a trip through her past and the different paths that she chose that have led her to her success, following a career and dedicating her life to music, which was her grandfather's passion as well. She's living and continuing the tradition and the dream of three generations here. Welcome back, Elise.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's so good to have you. It's so good to see you, and it's great to listen to your music here at the breaks. I wanted to talk and just kind of continue, and you're now at USC. You've talked to, please tell me her name again, a very well-known instructor there at the university in the music program.
Yes, Patrice Rushen.
Mm-hmm. Patrice Rushen. You went to her, you took initiative in your junior year, approached her. That must have been, you must have been nervous, right? She's so well known, and asked her, how do I get more involved? So pick it up from there. You joined the junior music program, if I've got that right.
Yes, so she let me be a part of that junior class, and it was just so amazing, the amazing students I got to meet there who are now doing amazing things, and I got to see their journeys as well.
Can I interrupt again? I'm sorry to do that to you, because I know you'll move on and then I'll forget. Isn't that interesting about USC, how everybody that you're interacting with is a son or a daughter of someone usually, or someone that has worked really hard to get there and pulled themselves up by their bootstraps and earn their pedigree or earn their right to be there. But it isn't what's important about USC and any of these campuses or these colleges that you go to, you know, for people out there listening, is network, right? Like, get to know people, because you, if you love that business, you all kind of come up together.
Yes, absolutely. Just keeping that those relationships alive and you know, just really seeing people and acknowledging their accomplishments as they go further. That's been really rewarding. I will say it's even more rewarding than me going out there doing stuff, but I think it's even more rewarding seeing people like, oh my gosh, I remember when we would sit in the hallway and do last minute changes to our arrangements, and you know, just see how far people have come.
I'm so glad you guys all had to do last minute arrangements. It was my own personal concert. So thanks for that. But go ahead. Okay, continue. Networking. Yeah. I'm just trying to make that point. Get to know people and be nice and be kind. And like you said, respect who they are and what they've accomplished. And that pays off in many, many ways years to come.
Right. Absolutely. Just seeing everyone. I have a friend that was at school. I think he's just a year older than me, or maybe two. But I remember him working so hard, and now he's out there co-music directing for Billie Eilish and some other artists, Conan Gray, Role Model. And it's just been such a pleasure. And he just recently played guitar on Beyonce's new album as well. So, you know, people like that, I'm just like, wow, we've come some ways.
we've done well, Arsa. But you guys all deserve everything that you worked hard, obviously. It's in the music. I lost my question. Okay, continue. So that's your path. I mean, everybody's path is different. If, you know, there's a young Elise out there right now, and she's listening, and she wants to be so much wants to be in the business and producing music, what would three things from Elise Solberg be, from the book of Elise Solberg? Top three things that you would tell this young Elise that's listening.
I would probably say, keep your, this is gonna sound a little strange, but keep your circle of people, I don't wanna say people in general, but when you go to people for advice, keep that circle very small, because people are going to tell you all sorts of things. And then, especially if you're a very impressionable person, especially like I was, you're gonna start listening to all these opinions, and not all of them are either A, warranted, because they're not experts, mm-hmm. and B, you know, everyone has an opinion.
Right.
And you could have a brilliant song, but somebody could be like, you know, they could have an off day and just tell you that it's a terrible song.
Right.
And
shoot down your ambition or your own feelings, right? And destroy or break something that you were working on unnecessarily.
Right. So keeping that
input. That's good advice.
Yeah, your circle very small, like your mentors, and any person that has more years or of experience, just keeping that really tight knit. I think second of all, just be open to new experiences. Sometimes you're going to be offered opportunities, and it might not be the number one thing that you imagined, but I think sometimes that leads to an even greater opportunity that you would have never imagined. A lot of the stuff that has come my way, I would have never imagined would have ever happened, and is greater than I expected. And I think thirdly, just really work hard if it's your passion. I think music is one of those things that, you know, everyone can be involved with. You can sing, you can express yourself, but I don't think if you want to go really far distances with music, you can be one foot in, one foot out.
Mm-hmm. So gotta be really, all in.
Right.
How many, you mentioned 4 to 6 hours when you were young, every day after school, after homework, that you would practice. Doesn't sound like you had much sleep. And how many hours are you thinking about music right now? Are you nurturing that network? Are you writing? Are you composing? Are you wrapped up in music? How many hours of your waking life, your daily waking life, Elise, do you spend thinking about or doing something with music?
That's a great question. And it kind of depends day by day, but this month has definitely been one of those months where it's like I wake up, start working on music, whether it's producing or writing, or in rehearsal or performing, and I wake up and I go to sleep, and I was doing that until I slept, basically. So sometimes it's an all day venture, and sometimes it'll be for months on end, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's a little overwhelming.
Do you need to take time sometimes to be creative and go, I gotta unplug?
Absolutely. I think I'm just facing that right now.
After this interview, you're like, Jeremiah, you pushed me over the edge.
No, this is great.
I hit a wall.
it can be a lot, you know, especially if there's other things going on, especially because I don't write all day, every day, since I have to perform and rehearse and that kind of thing. So, but there is kind of a limit, like you're saying. Sometimes you can't really come out with the best things if you're just kind of
burnt
out.
You're not receiving. Okay, we're going to... You can take a little nap, okay, Elise? Go. Please nod off during our commercial break. Nobody will hold it against you. We applaud you. We appreciate you. Elise Solberg is our special guest. Check her out on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at Elise Yuka, spelled Y-U-K-A. And go to EliseSolberg.com. It's spelled Elise. I think you can spell that, but let me spell Solberg. It's SOLBERG.com. Check out, while Elise is taking a little nap here, turnuphermic.org. And you will have enough time, I think, in the next 2 minutes to also purchase her one last EP, her one last time EP. And we know it's not going to be her last time. We can't wait for many, many more to follow up. We'll be right back. You're listening to Jeremiah Show. Our special guest today is Elise Solberg.
Why'd you want me as a ride or die? To only get a side piece, maybe two or three. Why you at it? How could you just lie there by my side? Lying to me night after night, just wasting my time. But why would you bring up all the times when it was just you and I? Why would you hold me tight just to make the wrong feel right? 'Cause I never thought I'd be sitting by myself. You double dipping like I can't tell. 'Cause you never even have to think about me twice. Now I'm the one to pay the price. It didn't matter that you put me half to hell. You still wanna put me under your spell.
Welcome, Somerset, England. The Jeremiah Show is now on Core Radio. Keep on rocking to the core. Core Radio. The Jeremiah Show airs at 10 p.m. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. CoreRadio.rocks.
Hey there, I'm Caleb.
I'm Becca.
And I'm Joshua.
And we are Girl Named Tom.
Go to GirlNamedTom.com to hear more of our music, buy merchandise, and learn about our story. You're listening to The Jeremiah Show.
You've been listening to The Jeremiah Show. I am Miles Zuniga from Fastball.
Hey, this is Tim.
And this is Christian. We're L1011.
Hi, this is Ron Sexsmith on The Jeremiah Show.
And we're back with The Jeremiah Show.
Welcome back. We're talking with Elise Solberg. She's a incredible musician, an incredible artist. Don't believe me, though. You should, but you don't have to. So go to EliseSolberg.com. She's got a lot of stuff up on YouTube that you can hear right off her front page of the website. You can get her One Last Time EP that we've been playing throughout the show here. And, you know, check her out. She's great. She's a pianist, a songwriter, a producer, and a composer. I'm just going to mention because I feel like I get to brag on behalf and say, you know, like, I know Elise. She played with Beyonce at the 2022 Oscars. Be Alive by King Richard, great song. We're playing that here in the show as well. Chloe and Haley, 5-time Grammy-nominated artist. She's played with them. Been on all the late-night talk shows. This lady gets around, and she creates and continues to compose and create and write and perform. I don't know how she does it. We just let her have a little power nap. That's probably how. I hope it helped her. I wanted to mention some of the things that you work with that you really care about. Number one, 2022, her nonprofit was chosen to host a panel at NAMM. Wow. I'm not surprised, but what a honor. So NAMM, tell us what NAMM is for those people that are not in the music business.
Yes, so NAMM is an annual convention that happens in Anaheim.
Yeah.
And it's mainly for music manufacturers and, you know, being able to have these or host these exhibits where people can visit. They host performances. There's usually like a headliner each night.
It's like the who's who, right? It's everybody goes, everybody in the business, from the artist to the managers, to the labels, right? I mean, everybody's
yes,
there.
Yes, yes. Yeah, definitely a lot of people go and they check everything out. And you know, develop their relationships. But NAMM also does a good job of having panels and informational sessions for the next generation of musicians that would like to get involved with the industry.
Yeah,
so it's a perfect setting.
Yeah, you'd recommend that a new artist go to this and they would learn a lot. Yeah, if they can get in. I've never been invited. I don't know why. I'm sure all the musicians.
I don't know.
Get invited. We gotta talk to Mike Gormley and Roxy.
There you go.
Yeah. So back to this though, your nonprofit was chosen by NAMM to host a panel, increasing gender equality in the field of music direction, and that is Turn Up Her Mic. Tell us about Turn Up Her Mic.
Yes, so Turn Up Her Mic is a nonprofit organization. We started officially last year, and we are seeking to increase the number of women in the live music industry. So touring musicians, music directors, tour managers, live sound engineers. And just because for the past, 4 years, I haven't really encountered many of those roles, but that aren't women.
Mm-hmm.
So, usually it's like the live sound engineer. I've only worked with one, in my 4 years. And 4 years is not a long time, but still it's like just one that I worked with.
There should be a lot more.
Right. I've never had a female music director, and most people never have a female music director. It should be, more. And I think the area that we most struggle with in the live music industry is the amount of music directors that are women. I can only count on one hand how many there are out there that are actually working. And so we had this panel to bring awareness and, of course, make clear the description of a music director, what they encompass, what they do, why it's so important to have a music director, especially for bigger acts, bigger artists. So we kind of made that clear, because a lot of times the general public and even people in the music industry, they're not even clear what they do.
I remember that in film. I was like, what does an executive producer do? It's not the same thing, but sometimes you don't understand what those technical terms are, what they mean and what their role is. And so it's hard to determine if that's right for you. So that's great. So you guys define this.
Yep, we defined this just to make sure everyone was on the same page. And then we kind of delved more into the reasons why there aren't many women music directors. And I was very lucky to have very knowledgeable, experienced music directors and musicians on the panel that helped clarify that, and also their reasoning on why they don't have peers that are women.
Yeah.
So that was really interesting to get into. And yes, the panelists were Derek Dixie, who I've worked with a lot for Beyonce, Chloe and Halle, Aunt Parrish, who's a bass player and also music director. He's worked with J. Cole, Alicia Keys.
Wow.
And Raina Zemel, who is a playback engineer and also guitarist for Pentatonix, Sophie Tucker. And we just had a very honest conversation. Nobody really held back. So it was a great honor to do this, because I've never heard anyone talk about it before.
What was you said you didn't hold back and you were honest. What were some of those topics? I mean, do I need to take a break though, Doctor? Mm-hmm. Did you say? Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to get that answer on the other side here. We'll be right back. It's a cliffhanger.
Yes.
Elise Solberg. She's our special guest today. Such a pleasure to see her again. Check her out. You want to see her. You want to listen to her music. Let me tell you how. EliseSolberg.com. It's S-O-L-B-E-R-G.com. You can find all of her stuff there, all the information. You'll probably spend hours on this website getting to know Elise after we get off this radio show. We'll be right back. The Jeremiah Show with Elise Solberg.
I don't know if you thought this through, cause you don't think I'm on to you. Bring girls here like you keeping score, cause you take me to places, go through all your places. Just another day, another girl. Yeah, it's much of the same, it's just different faces. All your girls will get diamonds and pearls. Wanna take me to places I've never been before, but it's time you're just wasting. I've seen it all before. I've got no patience, can't take you anymore. No, I don't wanna be just another level. A reservation for two at Melville. Trying to flex, but you don't got much to prove. Think you're going. Like who the hell you think you're talking to? When you talking dollar, you think you got game. But what if I told you that I make the same? Don't care for the bank, but your heart is to blame. Hey, hey. Wanna take me to places I've never been before, but it's time you're just wasting. I've heard it all before. I've got no patience, can't take you anymore.
Out on the road today. We don't want you to slip, fall, and break your heart. On the behalf of our entire crew, thank you for choosing Deceptive Airlines. Welcome to Player Island.
Check out Jeremiah's top 10 new artist picks on Radio India Alliance each week. The Radio India Alliance is a chart service that allows indie recording artists an opportunity to have chart placements. We don't charge. We support. RadioIndiaAlliance.com.
Hi there, everybody. This is Ann Hitch.
Hey, everybody. I'm Art Alex Hucks from the band Everclear.
My name's Danny Dreho.
And you're listening to The Jeremiah Show.
Jeremiah, you're loved, homes.
Do you need help with your restaurant or hospitality business? See how we can help your business at hjlrestaurantadvisors.com.
Hey, this is Jeff Stunk Baxter. Please open your heart and reach out to a veteran and let them know, number one, that they are loved and respected. You won't give up if they don't give up. And you're listening to The Jeremiah Show.
To all the things you do, you look at the skies above, searching for something true. My mama say you never been so wrong. You throw your hands up and give up too soon. 'Cause when the rain comes down, no, I'll be there with you. The storm rages on, but keep holding on. My hope is never gone, never gone. When you gave your all, but even angels fall, just know that spring will come, and it will be beautiful.
Oh. Welcome back to the Jeremiah Show, Elise Solberg. She's our special guest today, and we're learning so much. I love not only learning about you, Elise, but you're really providing a service in many, many ways, one which we're talking about. You're a founder and executive director of Turn Up Her Mic. It's a nonprofit organization empowering and increasing women in live music through informative panels, programs, and so much more. I want you to go to the website and check it out. You can help in many different ways, even if you're not in this business. Help this this nonprofit, turnupermic.org. You can donate and be a part in many different ways to help. I love this cause. I'd love, like I said off air to Elise just now, I'd love to promote this and help her promote any of the musicians, artists, or professionals. Welcome back, Elise. You left us with a cliffhanger.
Thank you so much. Yeah, there's nothing like a cliffhanger.
And we're not going to make you wait till next week to hear it. We're going to tell you now. Do you remember what the cliffhanger was?
Oh yeah, we're talking about the music directors and not many women taking up those roles, and I think that there are some great, the ones that are actually out there doing it. I want to mention the lovely Kim Burse, who has done so many great things. She's music directed for J-Lo, her Super Bowl performance, for Beyonce until I think 2012, and just so many of these big award shows, TV specials. Of course, Patrice Rushen, she was the first female music director of the Grammys. And Carina Day Piano, she's newer on the scene, but she's music directed a wonderful artist named Troye Sivan. But I really wish there were more women along their ranks.
Yeah.
So this is kind of our cause, and we started this mentorship program last year. It was our pilot program, and we had a lot of great mentors who volunteered their time and took on mentees that were interested in these fields and had the basic or the foundational skills to enter the industry, but they just needed advice from mm-hmm. veterans that could help get their foot in the door.
Yeah.
Or just life, musician life advice.
Yeah. It's very unique. Yeah. And if you don't know, you feel like you're really outside, right?
Right, right.
Let me ask you, Elise, how do you feel about a lot of the stories coming out in movies and television over, say, the last, I'm going to say 15 years, that have focused on the stories of those women who have made, quite honestly, the most significant impact in a wide variety of industries, from NASA to many other areas as well, including the one producer, I think it was a producer, or maybe, no, director, a female director, who directed the Oscar-winning film The Hurt Locker.
I love that director. I can't think of her name right now.
Yeah. One of the things that I think was well put, and I'm hoping one day we do get here, someone made the comment after, for example, Barack Obama was elected president, he's our first black president.
Catherine Bigelow.
Catherine Bigelow, yeah. You know, Obama was our first black president. And it's like, I heard a commentator say, we will have finally arrived when we don't make those references that Catherine Bigelow was a female or a woman producer or director, or Obama was our first black president, or whoever is going to be our first female president, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. When we don't have to make those
first
distinctions,
female VP, et cetera.
Or VP, yeah. When we don't have to make those distinctions, what are your thoughts in that regard?
You know, I can see both sides. You know how people say we shouldn't, you know, differentiate. If someone's great at what they do, doesn't matter, mm-hmm. you know, if they're male or female. I totally believe that. But I also believe that because we live in these times, and it's been like this forever, of course, you know, the lack of the gender diversity, lack of women in these roles, it is necessary to point out that this is the first woman to do this. It is important to, you know, or the first black person to do this, because then it reminds us like, oh, we're still not on equal footing here. There's still a lot of work to be done. And I think that although I would love for it to be a world where it's like someone can just be regarded as being good at what they do. I remember going to a jam session, my friend Ellen Sandberg, who's now Harry Styles' bassist, she went up and it was such a surprise that a female bass player went up and killed it. And someone said, oh, look, it's a female bass player, as if they've never seen one before. You know, and
have
I was
you,
like,
have you no, never she's... seen the Goo Goo Dolls or Blondie?
You know, that's, you know, there's definitely been more, of course, but sure. I just wish that right now we don't have to do that. But until it's not an anomaly, I feel like it's necessary to be like, you know what? It's great that we have the first female music director doing this.
Mm-hmm. That's a very wise perspective, and one I wouldn't have thought of but until you said it. Yeah. So that makes a lot of sense.
And I would tend to agree also, and not to take anything away from any of the women, of regardless of their color, or men for that matter, of color. I'm not trying to take that away from them, but it just seems as an observation. One of these days, mm-hmm. oh.
There's still some work to do, you know, as Elise said, though.
Yeah, Jane Foster. Oh, my gosh. She's the first woman on the moon.
It's probably not too far off.
Maybe not.
I mean, it feels like things are moving in the right direction, even though it's slow.
It's slow, but hey, it's moving.
It's moving, though. We got to take that as well. You got to appreciate the changes.
Yeah, celebrate them.
Celebrate
Absolutely.
The changes. Well, Elise, unfortunately, we got to say goodbye to you. I did want to ask you a business question, and then we got to say goodbye, but I'm going to let this go a few more minutes just so we can fill in a couple things that we failed to do very well here. One is, I'm interested in, I had Rich Ezra on not too long ago. And Rich Ezra, you may or may not know him, he is the, I guess, the founder of the Music Business Registry, which includes the A&R Registry, the Publisher Registry, the Music Business Attorney Registry, the Artist Manager Registry, and the Film and Television Music Guide. So if you're in the business, you're probably in one of Rich's publications. Been doing it since 1992. Been in the music business almost 50 years. And he gave a lot of great advice like you have today to new artists. One of the words of advice he said is the new thing artists have to take themselves 40% of the way before anybody will a label even look at them these days. It's a lot more work, but there's also a lot more risk and reward. The other thing he said, though, is that's most profitable right now that musicians are looking for is sync and getting into sync, which is basically, as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, but putting, you know, getting your music licensed or sold to a commercial or to a film, and there's a lot of money in that. Some of the artists, I think, like you, do everything where you're an actor. Possibly our friend Flavia, she's in a lot of commercials. I still see her on commercial after commercial, and a few times she's actually had her music put. She plays herself in a commercial that probably everybody recognizes for one of the acid indigestion commercials, one of those long ones. I forget, one of those drug commercials. And she's a band member, and she's on the bus, and she can't go on stage because she's sick. And but one of her songs plays in that, and some of the other commercials, and she crosses both of the line. She's in movies, she's in television shows, and she writes music. And I just heard, yes, I watched the Kardashians. I heard one of her songs on the Kardashians. So congratulations to her. But that's sync, right? That's getting your music on a bunch of different platforms or selling your music to a commercial or a film. What do you, it seems like you would be involved in that somehow with all you're doing. What do you think about sync? Is that, would that be something that you would strive for, you'd recommend new musicians strive for?
I definitely think so. I think besides live music and touring, like you said, it can be a very lucrative avenue. And if you're already recording and writing your own music, why not? Especially if you own all of it or most of it. I've done a few. My first one was with a composer named George Shaw, and we did a song for this animated film, Cinderella, that came out this year. But it was definitely rewarding, but it was on spec, so we had to, you know, write in a way that that pleased the whoever was in charge, the music supervisor. So but I definitely recommend it if people are interested. It's definitely a way to sustain yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, I know a lot of the questions are going to be, you know, you earned your way, and everything that you did on your path, and music is all-consuming. It's your life, and you've made it. But I know a lot of the musicians out there will go, well, how do I put all those hours into music and wait tables? Or how do I, you know, like so many people in LA and all over the world, how do I, you know, work 12 hours here and then go home and do music? There's a way, though, right? I mean, you did it in school, and you continue to do it now, and then make a living, you know, so you got to figure out your way. But if music is what you love, that's what you'll do. You'll do everything to make it happen. Your album, we didn't get to talk about it enough one last time. What's coming up? We did play it, though. And I had so many great questions from your lyrics. Sorry, Dr. D, I'm taking some overtime. Are breakups gold for songwriters? One of my silly questions.
Breakups gold?
Because it sounds like you went through a breakup in these three off the EP one last time. You don't have to answer that, but it sounded like
a breakup.
You were in love, or maybe you weren't in love, or I don't know. But breakups, either coming or going, they're gold for songwriters, right?
I think they can be if you can make a good song.
Yeah. All depends, I guess. See, for instance, I would make a really horrible breakup or love song. So I get your point. What causes time to stand still for you? These are real rapid-fire questions. What causes time to stand still for you? Anything in this world that just stops you?
I think performing, there's just moments where you just kind of, everything stops in a way, especially when you're, I forget what it's called. It's when you're in such a zone. I think, you know that movie, the one with Jon Batiste and Jamie Foxx. Gosh, it's a Disney, like a Pixar film about a jazz pianist.
Oh, that was great. I know the person that made that at Pixar. Oh my God, what is it? I'm blanking now too. Or the guy dies. Soul, right? Is it Soul?
Soul.
It's like Elise Soulberg. How do we forget it? Soul, go ahead.
Yeah, I forget what it's called, but it's like you're in the zone and everything just kind of stops. Nothing else really matters. And I think that happens most when I'm performing or if I'm collaborating on someone with a song and we just kind of hit something for a chorus or,
yeah,
you know, it's a magical moment.
Yeah, it is. Awesome. Okay. I want to ask so much more. You'll have to come back. I hope you will.
Please. Please.
Definitely.
Dr. D says, please.
Please.
Okay. Last question, just because I want to mention the album again. Go pick up the album one last time. It's an EP. You're going to love it. We just played it on the show. You're probably already humming the tunes in your head. Go pick it up. How will that album mark your life? That EP, the first EP. You ever thought about that, looking back, when you've got 20, 50 albums under your belt?
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of my first foray. I made that when I was in college 4 years ago, and I kind of didn't give it enough attention when it came out, but it was mostly for family and friends. I think it marked me in a way that it prepared me to write music that I'm ready for now.
Got it. Ooh,
and,
good answer.
And topics that I wasn't ready for back then.
Good answer. You're so smart. All right. Our special guest today, it was such a pleasure, is Elise Solberg. Turn Up Her Mic. Check that out. .org. TurnUpHerMic.org. Check it out. See how you can help. Get involved. If you're dreaming of going into the business, they're there for you. TurnUpHerMic.org. Elise Solberg at .com. SOLBERG.com. You can find everything there. Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. Elise Yuka. YUKA. Listen to her music. Like it. Love it. Bring her in as a part of your life, and she will be there for a long time, producing lots of great things. Oh, love to have you on, Elise. So great to have you. And anything, what's next? Last words. Last words to anybody. And what's next for you? What are you working on?
Well, thank you so much. There's a lot of exciting things coming. I have new music coming out under my moniker, Elise, with an accent on the first E. And then tomorrow, if you're in the Bay Area, be sure to catch, I guess it's August 5th, Outside Lands. I'll be performing with a special artist named Pawpaw Rod. And also Afropunk in September will be out there playing. And I need more performances, but I don't want to take up too long talking about them.
Well, then you're going to have to come back and tell us as they come up, okay? Promise
for
me?
For sure.
All right, Elise Solberg, the great Elise Solberg. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, communicate, listen more, and evolve. Have a great week, everybody.
Yeah. Hi, this is comedian Maz Jobrani, and you are listening to The Jeremiah Show. Listen, man.
Did you like our soundtrack? Find all of our soundtracks on Spotify. The Jeremiah Show. Look for the black label. As always, a big thanks to Dr. D for making our voices come alive on the airwaves, and to our station manager, Les Carroll, for letting us on the air at all. Be sure to check out our very own Richard Dugan, a.k.a. Dr. D, Peabody Award-nominated radio show, Tell Me Your Story, every Sunday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Listeners, we appreciate you and want to hear from you. Please send us your ideas at jeremiah@thejeremiahshow.com or on Messenger, on Facebook, or Instagram. The Jeremiah Show is produced by executive producer Jeremiah Higgins and sound and engineer producer Richard Dr. D. Dugan and me, your announcer, Tony Kelly. Communicate, listen more, and evolve.
I'ma put my guns in the ground. I can't shoot them anymore. That cold black cloud is coming down.
This is Miles Copeland. Yeah, I just had the honor of speaking to the Jeremiah Show. Who would have believed that little old me would have the opportunity to speak on such a prestigious show? And they even talked about my book, Two Steps Forward, One Step Back, My Life in the Music Business. So it was a great pleasure to be on that show, the Jeremiah Show.
I love you.